and it got me so down. But I picked myself back up and I started telling me, no, my God's not done making me a masterpiece. He's still working on me.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Grief Chat with your host Donna Mathewitz. We could not be more excited to chat it up with her and hear what is new in her world. And there's always something exciting going on that she can help you in some regard if you are grieving currently or you know somebody that maybe could use a little helping hand with their grief. Donna is a wonderful person and a wonderful resource. Donna, how have you been?
I've been good. I've been good, Maureen. We're all spring is coming again, it looks like. So I'm ready for the next season and seasons of life and all that. So yeah, here we are.
Well, good. And you know, you and I have talked in the past, and I really feel like spring is one of those seasons that people sometimes want to just skip over and get right to, you know, nice summer weather. But spring is really a good time to reset, isn't it? And to remember that it's all about hope. I mean, you see little crocuses peeking up and you see different, you know, the tulips trying to come up again. And it's a reminder that this is a continuum and our circle of grief will change. And maybe we can embrace the hope of there's something more.
Yes. Yeah. Kind of, you know, we think of it as a time of new beginnings. You know, of course, and this will land on all kinds of different ears and hearts. We know that some have just entered this dark place that it doesn't feel like spring to them internally. It's a dark, cold winter yet. But I encourage people to say, well, spring does follow winter and how that looks to you and how slowly or soon you get there. It's going to be different for every person and there's no right or wrong or it is what it is. And I'm just come alongside as many as I can physically or at least through my voice to encourage people to not give up hope. And that I often tell people when I meet them the first couple times, I say, well, what I do know is that it won't always hurt as much as it seems to be hurting today. Because it does ebb and flow. Life does that.
Well, I really appreciate your wonderful words for people. And as always, you are going to talk about a certain topic, and I can't wait to hear what it is today.
Yes. In my thick file of so many things, I found this graphic. So I want people to visualize. So it's a boardroom, the big long oak table and the chairs around it. And it talks about who your board of directors are as you embark or in the midst of your grief journey. And so I'll just talk about a few of who might be sitting in those chairs. And one that pops out to me is a practical friend. Boy, we need that practical friend who will let us go so far, but yet because they love us and we trust them, they are able to sometimes bring us back to something a little closer to the reality of where things are. So having, and you know, I referred to that person in the past as maybe it's that cheerleader, maybe it's he or she is that person who, if you really had to, you could call them at 2 a.m. and they would just listen to you cry on the other end of the phone and maybe be there the next morning to help you move through the next day or whoever that is. And I would say, you know, if you have even one of those people in your life, you are truly blessed because unfortunately, I think there's far more people than we realize who don't even know who that person would be if I'd asked them.
Well, and you and I have spoken before, sometimes it's an unexpected person.
Right. It's someone who has come to the surface when, unfortunately, sometimes the people we expect to be there for whatever reason aren't. And that happens, unfortunately, quite a bit. I hear about that a lot in our grief support groups. Sometimes we're just too much. When we are grieving, they don't recognize us anymore. And we don't even recognize ourselves for a while. Look in the mirror and who is that person? And why do they look 10 years older than they did last week kind of thing? And so we can be kind of intimidating to some people and they just simply have to step away. Sometimes it's just for a time, but sometimes they're gone. But as you were saying, sometimes we pick up a new friend and that I see that happen a lot within our grief support groups in the grief community where, you have some new friends, you know, mm-hmm. you have some new friends now, and they don't judge you and they don't tell you to stop crying. And when you're upset, they listen and just shake their heads in agreement, like with, I get it. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. So that person can be, of course, very important. Another person around this board of directors table could be the encourager, which could be maybe the same person we just talked about. But I think of a practical friend as one who is kind of there, like on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. An encourager might be the person that anytime you see them, you feel a little better for the short conversation mm-hmm. you had at the grocery store, or you ran into them at Caribou or Froth and Cork, and they just do something for you. They care, and they're not overly optimistic, like not Pollyanna, like always, you know, it'll be fine, you're doing great, but to be more of a realist and yet encouraging at the same time. And it could be this person is someone who gets it, you know, who's been in a similar place that you are, and even just seeing them, maybe even non-verbally, they are your encourager, because you know what their story is. And you can look at them and go, well, she made it. And they're still standing and breathing. And she looks like she's doing life again.
I bet that's who you are.
Well, I think it has been over the years, you know, and I think of that often when we attended a visitation. You know, in our early years, we did even more of that. We were just kind of drawn to even go to a visitation of anyone who'd lost a child. And it didn't even mean we knew them very well, but somehow they knew of us just because our loss and it was a crazy time in our life, and it was quite public when Tim died. And when they see us eye to eye, they look at us and have said, you get it. You understand. So there is that. Sometimes I tell people, as whatever you've been through, you already know way more than the person who just is suffering a fresh loss. And we can walk in with this invisible sign that might just say hope mm-hmm. across our chest. Mm-hmm. I represent hope. And that's sometimes just what people need. So that encourager could be that person for sure. Another one could be a relative whose priority is your well-being. They just care about you, and they want, you know, whether that's physical or mental or emotional or spiritual, whatever it is, they really, truly, deeply care about your well-being and are there to sometimes protect us from ourselves, but also to safeguard us from people who know very little and yet think they have a lot of sage advice to share, which can be hard to listen to. Yeah, we recently had a loss in our friend circle, someone who we attend church with, and it was a sudden loss, and spent time at the house, and I, of course, listened to comments from other people, and I, of course, I have this very fine mesh filter that I hear things differently than someone who doesn't get it. I know, and I understand that, so I have to be careful not to be critical or judgmental. I just go, well, they don't get it, but they sure sound like they think they know, and we have to just kind of learn to take some of that with a grain of salt. And then I sometimes come along and just kind of with the person do a little correction, like, you know, I heard, and I don't point out names, you know, I heard someone in the all this saying this or this to you, and just want you to know that blah blah blah, you know, don't feel pressured by that. Or so
that's so helpful.
Yeah, because it's important to, I jump to their defense, and but not to make a scene or make anyone feel bad, because I realize everyone's intent is to be supportive and helpful. It just doesn't always come off that way when you're the one right. with the, you know, this deep grief mm-hmm. that you're struggling with. Another one, you know, and I know I come from a spiritual standpoint. I mean, my faith has and always has been really important to me. And, you know, someone else might be someone who has some spiritual discernment and courage to step in, that will pray with you, that will pray for you, that will use their sense of, you know, well, what is God saying in all this, and be able to speak to that. Not so overtly, though, that all you hear it. And this is another thing I hear people do, is they just start quoting something from the Bible. Well, you know, the Bible says, well, you know, the word says, and you're telling that to someone who is well-grounded in their faith already mm-hmm. and really doesn't need to be specifically reminded of what the Bible says. Because we, as a Christian, it's like, yeah, I know that verse. In fact, I have that verse memorized and love that verse. But you know what? Today, that verse is only sticking in my head because it's from memory. And it's not making its way to my heart right now. And it kind of bugs me that you think that just quoting scripture to me is going to pull me up out of my dark pit and make it all better. Eventually it'll all work, but sometimes that can be done too much. So to be sensitive to that, I think, is important for people to remember.
Good advice.
And of course, a person who has experienced a similar loss, really important, because even though every single loss, it doesn't matter, you can have a room full of parents who've lost a child, and every story is different. You know, the age of the child, how the death occurred, the relationship you had with that child, be it as a teenager, or now we're talking of an adult in their 30s or 40s or 50s, all that. So it makes every loss, and in spousal loss, you know, were they married for 10 years or 65 years? Were you a caregiver for the last 10 years of your husband or wife's life, which became harder and harder with every month that went by? And that's what you did for so many years. And so, Ken, it's okay for me to be relieved that they are free of their pain and I can go back to having some kind of life, which I gave up all these years. So to say that you totally understand, nobody totally understands. There are some general things that we can say, yeah, this is just part of the grief of the loss of a child or whatever. One of my griefs always has been, always will be, all the things that Tim never got to experience. You know, I grieve for the future that he never got. Mm-hmm. If someone's losing a child who's in their 50s, well, they got married, they had children, they even had a grandchild or two. So there's a bunch of life that they did get to do and they got to experience with this child that someone like me didn't. So there's a different things that make us hurt as we look back and look and try to look forward, mm-hmm. for sure. And then another thing is someone with financial wisdom. And this is interesting because unfortunately, many people don't seem to be terribly prepared. Too often they're left, especially when it's a sudden death with a younger person, probably more so as you talk about a spousal loss or a partner, a life partner loss. Did you have your ducks in a row, so to speak? I think many people are caught off guard. And while you're deeply grieving, you are now forced into this arena where you have to take care of some things and it's a mess. And so it was a conversation, something like that, that caused me to put together a team of people we're sponsoring at the Harvard Church, which is just north of Hastings across the bridge. We're doing this seminar on the 20th of April from 9 to 3 at the church, and it's called Intentional Steps to Finishing Well. And we have some great presenters coming in to speak. Someone who is certified in senior real estate specialties like downsizing and moving decisions and decluttering. So kind of preparing for, even though, and that can start, we don't have to wait till many, many years from now to do that. That idea can be kind of planted. Dick and I, we sold a bigger house, downsized over 4 years ago into I tell people this is our getting old house that we built, you know, before we feel like we're old. We kind of set ourselves up to be more prepared, at least in that way, for not leaving such a huge burden to children to come along. And we can all relate to that. We know someone or we are that child who got left with mom's wonderful collection of you name it. There's this cartoon I've seen. It's an older gentleman standing with a walker and a younger person next to him in the garage doors, all three garage doors wide open, and it's packed full. Not a car in sight because it's full of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the caption says, "Just think, son, someday this will all be yours." You know? I just, you know, it's like, thanks, Dad. You know? But anyway, so this whole decluttering and all that, we're also having the advanced funeral planner from Cook Funeral Home in Cottage Grove, along with Mike Shea, who is the manager and a funeral director, who will be there to talk about the importance and the thought about what about pre-planning? What do you want? How do you want this done? Also, someone from Safe Harbor Estate Law. She will talk about planning for the second half of life and estate planning. I've got a great video that we're still part of. It's about how do we distribute personal possessions. It's titled, "Who Gets Grandma's Yellow Pie Plate?" Because we don't think that sounds important, but do we know someone it's not been easy once they were gone? It's like now we're fighting over
Grandma's yellow plate. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also Thrivent Financial will be there to talk about investment management and giving strategies. So I think we've got a great variety of things to talk about. And, you know, we just want to make people aware that it's happening. And I know, Mo, you said you put it on your Facebook page. I have it on my Facebook page, and there is a QR code. It'll simply take you right to the registration spot. The cost is only $15, and that includes your lunch. So I don't know how you can't say you can't afford to do that. And you really need to think about this. And our intent is to make sure it doesn't sound like it's something that's just for seniors or people further along in life. If you're a family and you have children, you really need to know about how that's going to play out. What if the worst happens and you don't have a plan for your children under 18? And we also thought, wouldn't this be great for adult children to come with their parents, having another set or two of ears to hear what mom and dad maybe should be taking care of and how can we help? And have we checked these boxes? So all important things that I think are going to be very beneficial to anyone who attends the seminar.
It really sounds like one-stop shopping for people. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. And nobody's coming there to sell anything. Each of these presenters will have a table in the back. They'll have their cards. You can go home with all their contact information, and then you take it from there, you know. And even if it's not any of those people, but you know someone who does that same thing, it's going to prompt you to say, you know, let's get that appointment made that we've talked about making for the last 3 years, and let's get it done.
Oh, Donna, it really sounds like a wonderful event. And can you give us the times and dates again?
Yes, it is Saturday, April 20th from 9 to 3 at the Harbor Church, north of Hastings. We are asking people to sign up by the 14th, the Sunday before, just so we can get numbers and order food and all that. Yes, and the QR code will take you right to what you need to fill out the registration. And you can specify if you need gluten-free, or we'll tailor the lunches to what your needs are.
Sounds like a wonderful event, Donna. Thank you for telling us about that. Anything else you want to share?
I mentioned our grief support groups, so we do have those continually running year-round. One in Cottage Grove at Cook Funeral Home on the third Monday night of the month. That pretty much has become a group for spousal loss. I am 6:30 to 8 on the third Monday. And then on these for Thursday night, we meet at the Community Ed Building here in Hastings on 4th and River for our grief care group. And then the other group is the Gone Too Soon, which is specifically for child loss. We meet on the first and third Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8, again at the Community Ed Building in Hastings.
Thank you so much, Donna. We appreciate your time today. Donna Mathewitz is the host of Grief Chat on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA. In Hastings.
Not scared to say, I used to be the one preaching it to you that you could overcome. I still believe it, but it ain't easy.